The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews, back with the microphone.
That means I'm official. She unpacked the microphone.
Yeah, actually, my mom unpacked it. This was one of the boxes that she opened when she was here, and she was like, what is that? Like, it was like she unearthed a spaceship when she brought it out, and she was like, wow, I didn't know that your podcast was, and I was like, what, mom? Like, making me so much money that I can afford a $100 microphone with a spit guard? Yes, yes,
a
it is.
A spit guard. It's not a spit guard. So there you go. You have no idea
what is it?
It's for your P's and your S's. So you don't like.
Yeah, a spit guard. So you don't
it's
spit
not,
when you say P's and S's.
I don't have mine on, by the way. I haven't and I never use it. Apparently, I say my P's pretty well.
I like it. It does make me feel a little more professional in this.
It does. Looking at you, you do look like I'm like, oh, look at she's like.
Oh, thank
she's
you.
Professional podcaster.
But I am still in the corner of my bedroom recording this. I haven't found a better place yet. And it seems that we have some pigeons who have like nested right next to our master bedroom window.
Are you hearing like,
yeah, they just grunt all day like that. But it sounds like since it's a little muffled, when I first heard it, I was like, oh my God, it's the first time I've ever heard my neighbors having sex. Because they're because it's just like, but then that pattern continues for hours. Like they never stop making that noise. So I was like, that can't be my neighbors. Please, I've seen them. They're not going to go for hours, but it's these fucking pigeons. So now that's the next thing for this house. Like, it seems like every week we have to tackle some new, like, oh, cool. There's no screens on the windows. Like, I discovered that this morning because it's so beautiful now. It's like 70 degrees. So I was like, I'll open all the windows. No, I won't.
I know. It's like that. You know what? I don't have screens on my front windows. Of course, I don't own my home. I rent it. But it is. It's like actually literally just turned on the air conditioner here. It's hot outside.
It's hot outside for you. But for me, it's the first time since I moved here that it's under 100 degrees and it's all the way down to 70. It's
really
beautiful.
It's been that hot there?
Oh, yes. It's been 115. Like literally my son was playing baseball games. Not
exaggerating.
Remind
everybody where you are if they're listening out of sequence.
Yes, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and we moved here in August.
And it is now October.
And it's now October, so it's finally cooling down, and I can't open the windows in my house because then the pigeons will just come right in because there's no screens. And
You've been living there for over a month already?
Yeah,
That's crazy pants.
5 weeks. I know. It feels like, on the one hand, it feels like only yesterday because I still have so much to do to move in here. But on the other hand, it feels like the longest 5 weeks of my life. So, yeah.
So there's that.
There's that. A lot of traveling back and forth for weddings. And I think that is, since the weddings are in Texas and I booked them, that is what actually is making it tough to feel like I really live here. And that it's not just like an extended Airbnb, like, oh, this is a nice house. Whose house is this? Oh, right, it's mine. So I have to fix the pool pump or whatever. Like,
I'm like, or the pigeon neighbors having sex.
Yes. I'm like, oh, our neighbors are, that's not, and we're going to have to do something about that because there's like a whole family of them up in their rafters now.
So who will you call? Like, Terminix doesn't do that kind of stuff.
I think we need to, like, spray some like high powered hose up there just to get them away, to fly away. And then we have to like have a handyman come and do like mesh.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You got to close up the apartment there. You got to shut it down.
Yeah, I got to evict.
evict the pigeons. Yes. They're dirty, dirty, dirty. What did I hear? They're like rats with wings or something.
Yeah.
Did I hear that on a TV show? Like,
yes,
I don't know.
I agree anyway. With that. I'm not into it. But
ew.
But still figuring out where the best place will be to actually record here. So next time you see me, Michelle, on Skype, I might have a different background. I'll figure it out. Oh, by the way, you can call me Coach Christy now, everyone.
What are you doing? What are you doing
now? I said
now?
Yes to
why?
Coach
whatever
Tom's
it is,
basketball
why?
Team. And it's because we joined this league. It's 5-year-olds, you guys. They're 5. I don't know anything about basketball, but they're 5 years old. Well, how hard can it be?
You're pretty tall, too.
I am. So. I have that going for me.
Yeah.
And I have, like, experience with kids that age from teaching preschool and everything. But it's the actual mechanics of basketball that I need to look up, you know? Like, how many steps?
Yeah, do you know how to make points and all that?
Well, they play a little differently because they're so young. So it's like half court and it's only 4-on-4. And they basically all just like move in a giant group up and down the court.
Yeah.
It's called a court, not a field. So I have like, okay. I figured it out.
I don't think I even
cracked
knew
the code.
All right.
But, anyways, I said yes to it. And the first practice is in a couple of days. And I definitely woke up this morning. Like, what did you do? Why?
Are you
Why?
On, like, the PTA and all
no,
that
I
crap,
didn't,
too?
No, I didn't join that yet because I need
okay.
my October
Don't,
wedding to be done.
Just, can you just not do everything?
I can try.
Can you just not?
I can try.
I don't want to hear it from you. You do this, and then you're like,
ugh. Okay, but here's the thing. The first event I go to, I won't get involved, and then I'll go to an event as a parent, as a non-involved parent, and I'll see all the things that I want to improve upon. And then I'll be like, oh, I can't man. Stop myself. I just have to be involved so that I can make something better. But while that does get me underwater, I think that is a better habit or personality or whatever I have than being somebody who just goes to these things and just bitches and then doesn't join or make anything better or like put my energy and time and talents towards the, you know, making the school a better place or whatever. But I haven't yet. I'm easing my way in here. I also signed up with the Arizona Democrats so that I can drive people to the polls and maybe do some like registering of voters and stuff
there
like
you
that.
Go.
So I'm starting to put down roots here.
Good for you.
Anyway, it's October, as we said. So still, I have a ton of wedding stuff. Do you also? Like business
no.
stuff? Okay.
No, I mean, I'm planning, but I'm done for the season right now unless I get a last minute month of, which would be great. I don't care. You know, like that's fine. But I finished last weekend when I was in Boston. Yeah.
So we've been really busy and we wanted to share. Well, we wanted to do an episode with just us because we've had guests and then Yawas and it just seems like the last couple of months have gone by so fast, but we were
and we needed to catch
up. Yeah,
we
need to catch up.
We need to catch
and
up.
We were brainstorming a little bit about how best to share with you, dear listeners, some of the things that we just like mentally make note of at weddings that we're doing since we've had between the two of us a lot in the last
it's
couple
fresh.
Of months. Yeah. From little things that I might write a postcard or a post-it note to myself and stick it on the timeline and then I'll see it before my next wedding. So I'm like, oh yeah, you need extra double-sided tape in your emergency kit or something. Or just little things that we do as wedding planners on the day of. So that 10 hours that we're, you know, there coordinating all the details or at your venue or whatever, things that we do that you, if you don't have a planner, might not think about, or that we can just share with you anecdotally. So that's what today's episode is about. Sort of like some tips, tricks, pitfalls, pet peeves. Look at all those P's and T's I just did so beautifully with my spit guard.
That's what your screen is for. That's what it's for.
So that's what we're going to talk about. And also we have some upcoming episodes because we have been getting so many emails from y'all that we are like, we're answering them. And we love them and thank you for sending them. But we've also been kind of keeping track of like, oh, we've gotten now six, you know, separate emails about brunch weddings or wedding scripts, or do we have suggestions for readings, or what cool stuff are we seeing instead of a first dance? Like, we're getting these questions. And then if we see the question more than once, we want to do a whole episode about it. So those are some of the topics coming up. We see a pattern.
Hey, and you guys, we just booked our Airbnb for Nashville for a Modern Love event. I'm so excited. The house looks awesome. It's got that rooftop and those, mm-hmm. It's, so you guys, if any of you are from Nashville, we were trying to figure out where the best place to stay is, and we kept hearing the Gulch, right? Gulch area. And this house is like super close, but it's not in the Gulch, but it looks like it's just over a body of water from Google Maps. But the view is of the downtown and Gulch area, and it says it's like a $5 to $7 Uber or Lyft ride to Excellent. The Gulch. So that's cool. And so we have some people tagging along. My best friend is coming, and like a whole bunch of her friends, because apparently Nashville was on the bucket list for a bunch of people, which is fine. We'll have a house full of women who will keep themselves occupied while Christy and I are just hustling, man, getting those interviews and getting ready for the Modern Love event and just spending some quality time together, Christy and I, where we can actually like be in the same room and I can notice how much taller she is.
And we can cheers each other and actually clink glasses.
For real!
And we're going to do a ton of recording and probably some just like, we might even just hit record on our phones when we're in the car shooting the shit.
I think we should. We should just record while we're there.
Which makes now a great time to join Patreon, because there's going to be bonus episodes and some, what would we call it? Like behind the scenes, no pants dance.
And I'm going to try to buy equipment for this. I really think we should try to buy equipment for... Anyway, yeah, yes. And thank you to our new members, especially, I'm so like, we've got Brandy Martinez just last week, and Suzanne Gibson, girl, thank you. You are so kind and generous. It really means so much to us. We're going to set up a Skype call with you really soon, you and your partner, and talk all about wedding, because you were insanely generous and we sincerely really appreciate it. You guys, anything that you all can help us out with on Patreon, from $1 a month, $5 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is, you are helping us so much to make our dreams come true and make this show even better. Although it's pretty damn good.
It can be better, and it can be for longer too. I mean,
yes. So it just feels super damn good to help people and to put out there what's in our heads, like what we're good at and what we're thinking and what we're doing. Which leads us to, and by the way, Modern Love, you guys, is Sunday, December 2nd in Nashville at the Cordell. It's going to be an awesome event. It's for anyone getting married, inspiration. It's going to be so visually inspiring. There's going to be really cool wedding professionals there that don't do things of the norm, right? Really creative, awesome stuff. So if you can make it to Nashville, or if you live around there, buy tickets. 50% off tickets for our listeners. And that code is BIGWEDDING. So go to themodernloveevent.com, click on tickets, that'll take you to Eventbrite. And then you're going to put code BIGWEDDING, all one word, all together. You'll get 50% off tickets. And the tickets are only like $25 to begin with.
And we're going to be drinking somewhere afterwards. We'll find a cute bar nearby or set something up, and we'll let everyone know where we're going to be. So if you are local or coming to the Modern Love event, you can come meet us and have cocktails with us afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, if we get a big enough response and there's a lot of people that are going to be in Nashville and we do a meetup before, then we'll set that up too. But we need to know from you guys if you're going to be around. We get into Nashville on that Thursday. So we could potentially do a meetup on the Friday mm-hmm. or Saturday, right? December 1st, Saturday, perhaps. So let us know if you guys are in the area and you want to do a meetup. We'd love to meet you all and record with you all, put you on the show. That'd be so fun.
TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast@gmail.com. You can let us know. Okay.
So let's talk about... what are we calling this? Like pet peeves or like logistical things on the wedding day, things we noticed.
This is the kind of stuff that we would share with each other, like wedding planner talk. I mean, like, you know, I would send you a text and be like, what do you do about this? And then you'd be like, oh, I always do this, or you're not going to believe this last thing that happened, or I can't stand XYZ anymore. So it's kind of like, what that reviewer said, we're kind of like uploading/downloading our mind and experiences from the last couple of weddings that we've done, just so that we can catch up.
Yeah.
And I just jotted them down. They're sort of all over the place. Yeah. Okay. Well, one is this super easy thing to do if you don't have a wedding planner, and it's not always necessary, but sometimes it is. a lot of times I get a gift. I know where the gift table is going to be if people expect gifts, or they have like a basket or a birdcage or a box or something to put cards in. And when you don't have that, that's totally fine. People can just put their cards on any flat surface when they walk in. But sometimes guests need to follow an example. So I always have a card to my clients ready to go with their names on it. And that card goes first in the box or on the table, or however they want guests to put their cards, so that people know to put the cards there without a bunch of signage, which is another thing on my list. And on that note, if you have a guest book that's not a traditional, you know, leather-bound book that says wedding guest book on it with just lines, which almost no one has anymore, if you have like a coffee table book or even a photo album, which is pretty common, to have people sign as they come in, nobody wants to be the first one to sign it. So I'll always sign it myself somewhere small, but I'll also get some of the wedding party or the, like, you know, your VIP people that are just hanging out early to sign it early and visibly, you know, kind of somewhere where people are going to notice so that other guests can follow the lead. So it's an easy thing to think about, but if you don't do it, you know, it might be halfway through the wedding day and nobody has actually signed that book of vintage maps or whatever that you brought in to be your guest book because they don't know that they're supposed to and they don't want to be the first one to do it.
You don't do it yourself?
No, I do it myself.
Oh, okay.
But because I don't want to put like a big thing because I'm the wedding planner and not a friend, I always sign it, but I also get like whoever, if I'm like, oh, usher, you're their cousin, come sign this thing so people know to do it. And then, you know, if it's one of those things where you want people to sign on different pages, then I'll have several people do examples just so that not, because I've opened up a guest book once and it was a photo album guest book and almost every guest had signed on the same border around this one big picture kind of in the middle of the book, as if they didn't know they had permission to, you know, thumb through the book and sign somewhere else, which leads me to my next one, which is about signage, like too much signage. That's a big pet peeve of mine.
Having too much,
like having to label or put a sign next to everything. It just seems like overboard to me. And I think it sort of, you know, the like cynic in me is like, what do you think we are? Are we all so stupid that we don't know that this is where the wedding cake, that's a wedding cake. We're looking at the wedding cake. We don't need a frame with a label that says wedding cake on it. But I think some people in my experience go overboard with signage when they've tied it into their like design, like they came up with a font they really like and it's using their colors. So then they just go crazy with everything that they're going to print out and display. Restroom, dancing this way, you know, request a song, sign our guest book, leave a card, take a cupcake. Here's our favors. Like, I don't know. I think if it's not necessary information to pass on or something somebody wouldn't know, like what's in your specialty cocktail? that's a great sign to have
on a bar.
That's
a good sign.
Totally. Because you're like, oh, I'll take the Michelle Teeny.
Yeah.
Like, then what is in it? Oh, it's got this, this, and this. That is a necessary sign. Or if you're doing like family style dinner where they're not walking through a buffet, but they don't all have menus, then having a big easel up somewhere or one menu card on each table telling people what they're eating.
The ingredients.
With a little bit of detail, like this has peanuts in this, you know, whatever. This is a traditional pad thai made with peanuts and lime and whatever. It gives people an idea of what they're eating, and that is a necessary sign. I think I get just a little like, with all the like cutesy signs everywhere.
Totally.
And as a wedding planner, we're the ones putting them all out. So it's just part of my routine in setup. And putting them out is not the problem. It's just the idea.
Well, it's that they're just not necessary. They're waste.
Yes.
What do you do with those signs?
They throw everything.
And how much you throw them away. I'll pack them up if they're in frames or whatever. I'll pack them up. I'll put them back in the box. But those signs they spent money on if they had somebody calligraphy it.
Or all the chalkboards or
right,
all the bulletin boards.
Well, at least chalkboards they could use again for something. But like if it was like printed in color and all designed and pretty, they're just going to throw it away.
Yeah.
You know.
That being said, if you need a sign to explain something, then by all means have a, you know, if it's like a specific way to do that, you want your guest to do something like a selfie guest book. Have you seen those yet? Where it's like, take a picture with the iPad and then hit this button and then record a message or whatever.
Oh,
you need to describe
that
to people. And I don't know, but I guess it's like, if it's a candy bar, I'm saying like a big buffet of candy. Everyone can see that it's a candy bar and you're supposed to scoop some candy into a bag and that's what you get to take.
Right.
Unless, it's not.
And
not
you know what?
Surgery.
Maybe one or two guests will go to Christy and be like, can we have this candy? And she'll smile and go, yeah. When she's thinking inside, obviously.
Sure, take some candy. but it's always good to have people like break the seal, you know? So if it's nearing like the end of the night and nobody's gone over to the candy table, I'll go right up to some kids or, you know, some people that have their bags looking like they're going to leave and be like, make sure you hit up the candy table on your way out. Or you guys break into those candy jars. No one wants to be the first person to do it. Go do it. So, you know, that's just a little side note. Of course, if you want a bunch of signage at your wedding and I'm your wedding planner, I'm going to be like, great. Give me all that signage. I will put it out. But if you ask my opinion about it, or do you think it's necessary for us to have 4 different signs pointing out where the restrooms are, I'm probably going to say no, it's not. Let's just do what is obvious, what's not obvious, and what's necessary. So that's that.
So I had, you know, 2 weddings, 2 weekends in a row. One was here in San Francisco. One was in Boston. They could not have been more polar opposites. It was so interesting. So the one in San Francisco, the couple were, they were so insanely organized, Christy, that I was like, wow. I mean, the bride created a floor plan to scale. It was to scale. And it wasn't, and they weren't the type of people that were like control freaks or do this, do that, do that, the other. They were just, she was just that kind of brain. That's how she does things. And they were so sweet and so calm and so lovely. I mean, there were certain things they wanted certain ways, obviously. But I totally appreciate that. So it was really, really, really nice. And I did month of coordination for them. So they did most of the planning, designing, everything. They really did a great job. Just a couple of things at that wedding. One was her sister did her cake, as she had done for her sister before that. And the sister dabbles in baking and actually she could go professional. I mean, she did a really good job. And you know how that is when you get that call when you're kind of, vetting a prospective client and have that first kind of phone call and, well, my sister's doing the cake and you're like, oh no, because it could be a disaster. That was the kind of thing we were warned about in our wedding certification class, is that food should never be done by a non-licensed, you know, professional, because people could get sick and then people could get sued, right? So that's always a kind of a red flag. But, you know, the bride assured me her sister's done this a couple of times before. This is not the first time. And I was like, and that the caterer was okay with it. I said, listen, if the caterer is going to cut it and serve it and they're okay with it, fine. So this is, her sister did a cake, but she also did a dessert buffet. She did cookies and she did little mini apple pies and a lot of really fun, cute things. And the sister herself brought everything, delivered it, and set up that table, which was also kind of another thing, you know, because whatever someone does that isn't a professional vendor, sometimes the clients want that to fall on what we do, right? And flowers and a dessert buffet, it's a very dangerous area depending on how many guests you have. And so we have a lot of other things that we have that we're doing. So to set up a dessert buffet for, you know, 175 people, I wouldn't take that on. I wasn't asked to take it on. Her sister was automatically doing it with her husband, and that was great. I helped a little at the end cleaning it up, though. But anyway, what I learned from that is because it was all one big room, they wanted the dessert buffet set out from the beginning. They didn't want to be setting up this dessert buffet in front of the guests at a later time in the evening. So the dessert buffet was out from the get-go as the guests walked in for dinner reception. And as a result, everything was gone before the cake was cut. And I said that a couple times. I'm like, are you sure you want to have it out? Oh, are you sure you want to have it out? And they said, yeah. So we did it. But it ran out. Was it a huge deal? No, because we had a cake, a regular size cake, enough for everyone. However, consequently, at the wedding I did last weekend, same thing happened. We had a dessert buffet. It was the caterer brought all the desserts. They had it out. They didn't actually have it out from the beginning. They put it out a little later, but before cake was cut. And the flip side to this is that the bride doesn't like cake. So at the last minute, they did order a very small round cake just to have for cutting. But a lot of people wanted cake, and we didn't have enough cake. And
oh, then
we
so ran out of they dessert. Ate the so, whole small cake. I got it.
Yeah. And actually, after they cut it and it was sitting on the table, you know, because usually the caterer will grab it and bring it to the back and cut it. Some guest came, and the caterer didn't grab it right away, but I was standing by it. A guest came up with a fork. It was like, can I have some? And I'm like, just a moment. Yeah, absolutely. You can have some. But I couldn't like cut it and serve it to him. I didn't have any plates or anything. But it was so funny. Like, people really love cake.
Even if you have to cut very small slices, people want a bite of that cake at weddings.
And then if it runs out, they're like, what the hell? Like,
so like candy bars are great. And that's something, I mean, we don't necessarily love all favors, but if we're going to do favors, we love the edible kind. And a candy bar is kind of like that. You put it in a bag and you go. That's all good and well. So are like little snacky things that you can go with. But as far as a sweet treat to end, you know, they're eating at your reception, guests want something. And I think like the more options, the better, but it is a weird thing. Michelle's right. There's a weird thing with cake. Like people who maybe don't ordinarily eat cake want a bite of that cake on the wedding day. And if I'm doing any kind of dessert bar, I do want to and hope that I can put it out late for these very reasons, like later, because some guests, once they get their sweet treat, they're going to go, which is fine. That might be who you're expecting to go, but it's not like I'm doing several weddings in the next couple months that don't have like a traditional cake for whatever reason. So it's, you know, donuts or small, like little mini pies and cobblers in mason jars or a cookie bar, things like that. So I will encourage those couples to not put that bar out for guests to just grab before dinner, while they're eating dinner, anytime they want. It'll come out after dinner.
And then another thing that happened at my wedding last week, in the Boston wedding, So, you know, when you have a bar, oftentimes you have the option of you ordering the alcohol yourself, you as the couple, and then paying a bartending service to serve it. And then in turn, they usually bring like the garnishes and the ice, you know, and do it that way. Or you have the bartending service do the whole thing. They order everything. They bring it all. And you usually pay a little more for that. So the groom of my wedding last weekend is actually a manager of a very, very high-end, really great restaurant in Boston. If you all are in Boston, go to Mida, M-I-D-A. It's Italian. My very good friend is the owner and head chef there, Doug Williams. You will not be disappointed. That place is amazing. But anyway, so my groom, being a restaurant manager, was like, oh my God, I'm totally going to order the alcohol. Like, I got this. I know this. But it's a little different for a wedding, right? Because in a wedding, these guests know they've got free alcohol for X amount of hours. So he went heavy on like the beer and wine. And he went more conservatively on the hard alcohol, conservatively for a wedding. Probably for him, he's like, this is more than enough. They did a couple signature drinks, but they had, you know, the basics to have a mixed drink. So we were probably about, I don't know, an hour and a half into the reception when the bartender, lead bartender, the owner of the company came up to me and was like, hey, Michelle, we got a little problem. I'm almost out of all the hard liquor and all we're going to have left is beer and wine. So do you want us to just turn it into a beer and wine bar? What do you want us to do? And I knew that my groom was going to not want to do that because this is an entertainment, you know, this is a bit. So I went to him and he was like, what? He was so shocked. So luckily this bartender, you know, left and he went to this grocery store and he bought more alcohol and he bought what he thought we needed, brought receipts. You know, he was reimbursed a couple days later, you know, Seth, you know, we didn't reimburse him that night. But it was like, thank goodness that, you know, we were in a location where he could run out and go get more. But I guess the moral to that story, people, is order more than you think. Because a lot of these places, in this case, it was Gordon's in Boston. That's a huge liquor chain. You order from them. And then most places are like this. Most places. You order your alcohol from them. Whatever hard alcohol is not opened, if it's still sealed, you can return it after. Whatever cases of beer are not opened, you can return it after. So, you know, it's okay. And, you know, I think my groom's big thing was like, make sure that these guys are not just opening random bottles just to have at the bar, because I want to make sure we can return that later for a refund, right? So we ran out of alcohol. Alternatively, the wedding the weekend before that was Mexican food, and they had some awesome mixed drinks already done, one with mezcal. And unfortunately, we had a guy at the end of the night who just threw up. It was outside, thank God. But that guy was, he was wasted. But yeah, the alcohol. We're going to have to, we really need to have a show on, like a full size episode on alcohol and bar and cocktails.
That's a good idea.
We're going to have a good.
I had one note on alcohol, just to piggyback on what you said about over order. So you either return it or you have a bunch of wine and beer you have to drink in the next 6 months at your house. But that's always a big part of our job at the end of the night, because we're the ones putting things into your car or your room or your mom's car or whatever. And I can't tell you how many cases of beer and wine I have like stacked up in my arms and trudged out to parking lots or, you know, loaded up on a dolly when it doesn't belong to the catering company and it belongs to my clients. And no one's ever complained about that either when they get all that alcohol back. It's either they're going to return it or they have a party a couple weeks later or host a party when your wedding photos come in and have some close friends over and open some of that wine.
Unless it's a destination for them and they don't live in town, in which case that's a headache and you just want to let your caterer or bartending company order it for you.
That is true. And also, I always schedule last call 30 minutes before the last dance.
Absolutely.
Yes. And that should be something that the catering and the bartending staff is aware of on your timeline, and also that the DJ or MC can announce as like, okay, everyone, this is last call, so that people can go get that last drink and there's no surprises and there's nobody fighting with any bartenders at 11:05 because they want a roadie, you know, handed to them before they walk out of the venue.
Actually, I do schedule last call about 45 minutes before last dance, so that 30 minutes before last dance, the bar is shut down.
Yeah, and they're packing up, and that helps for strike as well.
Yep.
Because that's one of the things that takes, you know, several people and a little bit of time to, with the glassware and the ice and the coolers and the tables and all of that. So something to keep in mind and add to your timeline and add to the DJ's list of announcements and to-dos. Okay. And this is on food and drink, so I can bring this up. I have a couple of clients who are dealing with this right now because they have a catering company that is full service, but not like full service what you would get at a hotel or a venue that has an on-site in-house caterer, in that we have to sort of guess a little bit how many staff members we want. Have you done that before, Michelle, or when you even had to hire from an outside staffing company to supplement the taco truck or, you know, the caterer who just dropped off barbecue food and then left?
Bussers, yes. Wait staff.
Somebody has to man these tables.
That's always a real headache. Yeah. That's really a challenge.
The best catering companies and the reason that you're going to get a BEO, which is like the banquet event order once you order all the food with them, if you're working with the catering company directly, the best ones are going to have one front of house staff member pretty much for every 10 or 11 guests. And that's why when you get down to the staffing line item and you see like staffing $3,000 and you call your wedding planner and go, why are we paying $3,000? It's just dinner or whatever. It's because they have that many people on staff because you wanted a champagne toast. And the only way to do a champagne toast is to have that champagne poured at the same time for everyone. You have 200 guests, 20 tables. That's, you know, 7 or 8 staff members alone that are going to be going around just pouring the champagne. So even if you have a buffet and you're not doing a plated meal, you don't end up saving all that much money on like not paying for employees to be there. There's chefs and dishwashers and people who are like setting up the physical stuff, like taking out the huge trashes and setting up the outdoor kitchen and the tent and doing the manual labor. And then there's the front of house staff members, and then there's the bartenders. So it's a lot. It's more than you think, and it takes a village. And on your wedding day, you know, you won't notice, like, there seems to be too much staff here. No one's ever said that to me. Too many people are helping make this happen.
Yeah.
So it's something to think about, especially if you're having a buffet. You need those drinks poured, offered, tables cleared. You need transitions to happen smoothly. Catering staff members are usually the ones telling everyone from cocktail hour, if you could please make your way into the ballroom for dinner. If you could, you know, the bride and groom request your presence in the ball, whatever. There's different ways to do that. I do it. The DJ sometimes helps, but catering staff is a huge part of your wedding day.
The caterer is the hub.
Right. And a good caterer is going to make your wedding smooth and delicious, and you're going to get what you paid for. That goes either way.
Let me tell you, the wedding I did last weekend, so long story short, the caterer, the owner, no, how do I put this? They had a catering company that was very good friends of the family for many, many, many years and was going to do the wedding and, you know, do it at cost plus labor and going to do a phenomenal job. I don't know how many months before the wedding, maybe two to three months before the wedding, the catering company was sold to an employee. Mm-hmm. The employee, while having a ton of experience on the back end of things, behind the scenes, you know, as a chef, did not really seem to have any experience owning a business. So it was, to say the least, extremely difficult for me. Because, you know, caterers are like constantly proactive and asking you, How many guests do we have? What about this? What about that? Do you have a timeline? When do they want to do this? Should we, you know, as guests arrive, are we going to have glasses already full with wine? Are we going to have water?
Do you want us to bring the bride and groom or the bride and bride or the groom and groom some apps while they're taking those pictures? What are they drinking? What are they drinking all night?
Yeah. Any allergies? Yeah. Like, they're constantly in contact with us. I heard nothing from this caterer, and then I heard a lot of stress from my clients, worried, especially the groom, who is a restaurant manager and in the hospitality business. And he didn't want to be an a-hole because he was worried. He didn't want this guy to, like, pull out on him, right?
Uh-oh.
But at the same time...
So making me anxious in my stomach for you.
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, Christy, like, I literally was... trying to think what the caterers do and what they ask me all the time and giving, just feeding him. By the way, this, that, and the other. We had rentals coming from two different rental companies plus some of his own. So I had to create this whole spreadsheet of all the inventory of linens and runners and tabletop and the different glasses and the flatware and, you know, what tables he was bringing for his kitchen and then the tenting company. I had to put that all in one spreadsheet for him with instructions of this is who it comes from. This is where you need to place it. Like, I had to do everything. And he was a really nice guy, and he was lovely on the wedding day, and he worked really hard for us. But at one point, I was like, oh, my God. They were an hour late. They came an hour late than what was scheduled on the timeline. But luckily, I scheduled it really, really early on purpose because I knew, you know, like, I want to make sure these people are here hours ahead of time. They didn't bring tables for the kitchen.
Right.
So luckily our venue had extra tables, you know, like things like that. So, and this is a future episode that we're going to work on is, you know, hiring professionals who have been in the business for a long time versus friends or somebody who's new to it to business and what that means for you. But that, for example, we had 200 people and we had to set a conference call with him and saying, can we finalize the menu? I had to write the notes on what the menu was. He didn't submit anything to us. And I said, I really feel like we need two buffets double-sided in order to get 200 people through. And he's like, okay, yeah, totally. Wedding day, one buffet. One buffet. And there was no, I mean, I couldn't have said, put two together. He had one carving station, right? I mean, he didn't have the chafing dishes and everything he needed to have two buffets.
Right.
He set up one buffet, and as a result, we had to change up the timeline and toasts and all that because people were lined up on the dance floor for the buffet.
Yowza.
But it's okay. I mean, it was fine. It worked out. It was not ideal. I had a couple of people like, what's going on? The groom's mother wouldn't eat until all the guests had gone through. I don't know why she did that because usually those are VIPs. They go through first, the parents. She didn't want to do it. That was her decision. But I mean, yeah.
Yeah, double side. I mean, the buffet thing is huge. That's just a note for you all to know also. 200 people, two buffet. It's just timing. You don't want table 1, 2, and 3 done, fully done, just sitting there while table 13, 14, and 15 are like still in line to get their enchiladas. It's just, it doesn't work. Time it. And then the bride and groom are doing, or the couple, you know, they're doing table visits when people are still, because it's like, what do we do? Yes. We're done. We've been done. We don't want to just sit
luckily,
here.
Luckily, they wanted to do, luckily, and I don't use that term often with this regard, in regard to this, luckily they wanted a table shot with every table, a photo with every table. So that did take time.
Which you already had in the timeline.
And that was helpful. But I had that on the timeline. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah. Another thing, we had a big tent and, it was out on the grass and dance floor. And I mean, it was beautiful, but right before, you know, like after everybody had left and set up, guess what? The dance floor had grass and dirtiness all over it. So, you know, I was like, oh wow, we need to clean off this dance floor. The caterer didn't have a broom.
Yeah.
Why they didn't have a broom, I don't know. But luckily, the venue ladies were fantastic, phenomenal, and they came and swept it off. So that's one thing, guys. When you're doing a tent and you don't have a subfloor and you've got grass as your floor, which happens often, make sure you got someone that's going to sweep and clean off that dance floor because they'll put down that dance floor one of the first things and people will walk all over it setting up. So if you can't cover it up, make sure there's a broom and dustpan and a rag and clean off the dirt and grass on the dance floor.
Yeah, I actually brought a push broom to my last wedding myself because I knew we were dealing with potential rain and it maybe was going to rain and then stop raining and I would have a wet patio. But you know, there's wet and then there's like wet puddles. And I thought I might have to like actually push water off of the patio in order to put ceremony chairs down. And that broom got used a lot. I couldn't find one at the venue. So things like that you have to think about, which leads me, our segues are on point today, to my next note, which is about plan A, plan B, plan C, because my last wedding, it felt like I planned three weddings.
Did it rain, by the way?
We had to go all the way to plan C. So plan A at this venue, plan A is to have the ceremony on the grass overlooking the lake. Cocktails on the patio, which is very long but very skinny. And then brunch inside the building. And that wasn't going to happen because it had rained all week leading up to the wedding. So we knew even if it was a beautiful day on the wedding day that the grass was going to be like muddy, mushy. It didn't look good. I mean, we knew it wasn't going to be ceremony out there. So then plan B was ceremony on the patio, which we had to completely differently configure the chairs because it went from 10 and 10 on both sides of the aisle to 4 and 4. It was that narrow.
Wow.
Grooms had a big, it was a hoopah, but it wasn't a Jewish wedding, but it was the same idea, 4 poles and a fabric arch at the altar. It was the size of a king size bed. So no matter where we were going to be, it was like,
oh my God,
I'm either going to be on the lawn where things are really spread out in a wide way or on the patio where things are very narrow, or plan C, which is the one I really wanted to avoid, is if it's actually raining on the wedding day, we have to move it inside so that people sit at their tables while they're watching the ceremony, which of course is not what any wedding planner wants to do because you have to reconfigure everything. Where's the aisle? It doesn't have the same feel or the same, like, I don't know, like sacred sort of feel when people are at their tables with bread and water.
It's not that separate space.
So we ended up having to do that because it, and here's the thing, by the time the wedding actually started, it was fine to have done it outside, but the decision had to be made 3 hours earlier because that hoopah was not movable.
Oh, for the hoopah.
It was extremely ornate. And the chairs weren't, you can't just sit chairs. I mean, by the time it was 11 o'clock, which is when the ceremony was going to start, it was beautiful, but the chairs would have all been wet and you wipe down all the chairs, but it's 200 chairs. And
you had 200 guests?
It was slightly less than 200. Yeah.
It
was very, it was the worst kind of weather for a wedding, like to make the call for me. Cause it's like, either it's raining or it's not, but this was that perfect in between where it looked like it could rain at any minute. And it was very misty. Like if you were just standing outside, you felt wet. And so we had to make the only decision we could, which was to have it inside. And we pushed a lot of tables around, catering staff, because they had a lot of staff, were able to, you know, really help with the physical parts of where the food stations are going and moving the cake tables and the bars
and creating the aisle.
Yeah, redoing everything so it could happen inside. And it did. And it was it really was wonderful. And we're going to do a whole episode about ceremonies and scripts, but it was wonderful because these two grooms were wonderful and because their friends and families were wonderful. And they knew this wedding ceremony was going to be extremely personal and special, no matter if we had to do it in a broom closet. And it was, logistically it was tricky. And I definitely was like, okay, this is one of my challenging days as a wedding planner to go to all the way to plan C and make this work. And it did. And it was really wonderful, but it occurred to me, any outdoor venue, any venue where you have to do something outdoors, you have to know what your plan B is. Mm-hmm. Most venues that have an outdoor, they'll be like, okay, and in case of weather, we would just blah, 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 move it in here. We flip this room or we put out that air wall or we open up that extra space or whatever. But only agree to that if you're looking at venues. Only agree to that if you actually like the plan B. You don't have to like it as much, but do not, and this is like from my mouth to God's ears here, you guys, do not book a wedding venue where the plan B is going to ruin your wedding. Mm. Like, it can't be like horrible. Maybe that's a mental state that the couple has to get into and just accept, like, it's pouring rain, there's a tornado, the trees have been uprooted, whatever. We can't do it outside, so we're doing it inside, and we're still going to have this amazing wedding. Maybe that's just something you need to mentally prepare for. But, I mean, I can't imagine making that decision to go all the way inside if my grooms had been, like, passionately begging me not to do that. You know, it's like, what choice do I have?
I was going to ask you how that communication went with them.
They knew you
had to make that call.
Yeah, we talked a lot about it the night before, and I presented my three separate floor plans to them. That's what I mean. Like, I felt like I planned three weddings because every floor plan adjusted the ceremony, the cocktail, and the reception space. So we looked those over. We had reserved seats for all of the floor plans. We had assigned tables for all of the floor plans. So they had to do a little bit of like, I mean, they were texting me at 11 p.m. the night before the wedding, like, okay, here's the five people we want here if this has to happen.
Oh, they had to redo their seating assignment.
Yes, because it went from 10 and 10 to 4 and 4. And
oh, for the ceremony, not necessarily for brunch.
Not for brunch, except that they had, it just was a lot. They had like 11 people doing readings. It was a very friend-oriented
That's
ceremony.
A lot.
Yeah, so we had to make sure that the readers were positioned at their tables in a way that made sense for them to stand up and walk to the hoopah.
Wow. So, and what about music for ceremony? What was ceremony music?
And that was a string quartet, so going from outside to inside.
Yes.
You know, little things kind of threw some loops in there because my grooms had chosen these really cute songs that the quartet was going to play, like pop songs that were sort of random, but everyone knows the words to. And the quartet, now they have to warm up. Well, the only place to warm up is at their seats, and everyone is in there. So they started warming up playing the recessional song because they hadn't played it. And I was like, no. I like went up to them and to the lead guy and I was like, you can't play that right now. The grooms like wanted that to be like a, you know, a guest to hear
surprise.
It for the first time. Yeah, it was a surprise. And he looks at me and he was like, I'm sorry, we won't, but we kind of had to because we've never done that opening together. We have the music in front of us. You know, he was like, we were just practicing to make sure we got the right pitch or key or whatever with each other. But we won't play the rest of it. But if I hadn't told them to stop, they were going to play the whole song. So these are things that you only learn by doing it. But again, it goes to that plan B. Nobody wants to think about a plan B, but it's something you just have to work out, at least the bare minimum. And most importantly, you as the person getting married, you need to accept that the plan B is possible, and if you're gonna do it, then you know, try to still have an amazing wedding. Don't let that ruin your day.
Yeah, I think it's easy when you're going to see a venue and you're gonna have a wedding in the summer and they're like, by the way, plan B is this if it rains, and you're like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. But really look at it. Don't just go, okay, at least they have a plan B. Like, is that plan B going to be acceptable?
Exactly.
Is it really?
Don't just be like, oh, thank goodness they have that back room. That's where we would do the ceremony if we had to. Because then a week before, you're going to be like, what does that back room look like again? Are the chairs even going to fit in the same configuration that we had? Like, do I want the big...
Well, and if they look at it a year in advance, they're not going to know what the chairs are going to be. They might not even know their full guest list, but...
Yes, I'm saying a week in advance is when you start to freak out or rain is on the forecast, because we knew it was raining for this wedding those 7 days before. We got the extra tent. We talked to the caterer about like coming a little bit early because they were going to have to be bringing in outdoor kitchen stuff and then setting up their own tent. So we were on track. Like plan B was going to happen. What I hoped was that plan C didn't have to happen. And then it did. But I had worked diligently to make sure that plan C was still at minimum, that the photographs of their wedding afterwards were still going to feel like a ceremony, and that the photographer had enough room to make that angle happen without a bunch of brunch tables in the photos. And she did. So, like I said, it was beautiful and emotional and profound for this couple, and it was really lovely. But a big part of that was that they had mentally accepted that this was just it, and to still be as present and as lovely and as open as they would have been if we had done the ceremony on the lawn like they originally intended.
Excellent. Moral of the story for any scenario, people. All right. Is that it?
Yes. Well, I had one thing to say, stuff to say about programs, but I think that should be a episode on its own. So I wrote it down in our future episodes list.
Okay.
We haven't talked a lot about those.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, I hope that that was helpful for you. And we like to talk about these weddings when they're fresh on our mind. It's nice to do a recap, you know, and I mean, just in general, like if I talk to somebody who's getting married, randomly meet somebody and they're like, how was your wedding? What'd you do? What happened? What about this? What about that? I mean, it's just really helpful to hear anything wedding related, which is why we do the show in the first place.
Yes. So these show notes are going to be all over the place. I can already tell it's going to be like a challenging one when we re-listen to it. Because when we interview guests, we have like we can kind of know what topics are going to come up. But when it's just like free form.
This is a brain dump.
Yes. So
have fun with that, Christy.
I'll make sure the show notes, you know, are that they bullet out everything that we talked about so that if you're searching for one of these little hints, you can find it. And other than that, I guess you could tweet if you wanted to. Huh? Anyone? Anyone?
Tweet.
TBWP podcast. That's Twitter. Our show notes and all the information is on thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And you can leave us a review if you want. You can leave us a voice message. And follow us on Instagram and hashtag plan that wedding, because that helps us to see your wedding planning or your wedding days.
And tag us.
And tag us, yes.
Phone number is 415-723-1625.
And lots of fun upcoming episodes. So check us out.
Very well. It was really lovely to catch up with you and to bring all of our brain dump whatever to you all. Thank you all so much for listening. Christy, I will talk to you very soon. Love you, love your show.
Bye.
Happy planning. Bye-bye.